Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Palante. Palante.
Hola, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Gerardo Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guests talk about familia, friendship, and heritage. Their bond has led them to creating one of the most entertaining podcasts out today. These two Cubanos out of Wechete, Florida, have built something special that will definitely make you laugh and learn. Please welcome the hosts of Pero Let Me Tell You, DJ and Ish. Pero Let Me Tell You. How did that start? What are the origins of Pero Let Me Tell You? And what were the inspirations? How did we get to season five? Because five seasons is amazing.
We got to season five by sheer force of will.
So Ish and I have been friends for over 30 years, which is quite remarkable because we're only 28. Yes. But anyway, we've been friends since we were in sixth grade. And, you know, him and I have always had a certain chemistry, a certain banter. There's always that one friend or one person that you have that back and forth with. We would always kind of joke around and say, man, we should have our own talk show, right? And then one day he just said, hey, by the way, I bought mics. Remember that podcast thing that we had talked about? He had mentioned before about like doing a podcast when he was moving down from New York in what, 2015?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
I helped him move down from New York. So we drove for about 50 days, it felt like. That's when kind of the idea came out. And it was originally his idea. Hey, let's do a podcast. And I was like, sure. But then, you know how, when I would say, you just habla cosa, and then...
It was also like 2 a.m, so he would have agreed to anything.
It was. But then sometime later, after, yeah, he settled down and some time had passed, he's like, hey, that podcast thing I told you about, do you still want to do it? And I was like, sure. And he's like, okay, great. I bought the mics. Let's do it. And I was like, okay, well, then I guess we go. He's the one who came up with the name, Pero Let Me Tell You, which I thought was genius and brilliant, because I think that the name of the podcast captures exactly what the podcast is about. We didn't want to fall into the two Cuban guys in a microphone, you know, like so many podcasts that have a play on that. I thought the name was genius. And now we started season one. We were like, okay, maybe a few of our friends will listen. A few of my cousins, of his cousins. So maybe we'll get, you know, 20, 25 listeners the first episode. And it'll probably go up and then just die down from there. And we're on our fifth season and the rest is history. I mean, we've been very fortunate and very, very lucky. So. But a lot of credit goes to Ish, actually. As I say, I just show up and talk. He's more of the brains behind it.
Well, I mean, okay, thank you for the credit. But I always say, like, I could have all the brains behind it, but if it wasn't you and I, it wouldn't work. And we've had some fantastic guest hosts, and definitely there's chemistry there, but it's different. It's not the same. And he always likes to give me credit for the name. I always say we both came up with the name because, again, it happened at like 3:30 in the morning when we think there may have been somebody walking across the street.
I was hallucinating. I had been driving for like 16 hours.
So I know I'm the one who blurted it out, but I'm sure there was a back and forth of, okay, but what if and how? And yes, that's a good idea. So I always say thank you for giving me the credit you give me, but it really is a collaborative effort because at the end of the day, you also keep me very like focused, and it's very like, hey, wait, but let's tweak the sound. Hey, we need to figure this out. Hey, well, what about this? So a lot of times I'm just very like, palante, go, 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 go. And you're the one who kind of lets me go, but also, hey, remember, hey, think about. So
what's really interesting in our relationship when it comes down to the podcast is that he is the more creative person. Like, he's into art and he can draw and he's in PR, which you have to be creative. He's always been a very creative person. I've been more of like the methodical one.
Analytical.
Like the scholar type. But for some reason, when it comes down to the podcast, it reversed. I'm more of the creative one. I have like a vision. I'm the one who designed our logo to like the aesthetic of what I want things to look like, to different ideas that we've had. And he's more of like the business guy. Like, charts and flow charts and data and this and that. And it's just interesting that when it comes down to the podcast, we're completely reversed than what we are in, like, I guess, our real lives and our day jobs. Not that he's not creative in the podcast, but I'm more of like the visionary, like, oh my God, let's do this and let's do that. And he's like, okay, let me get to my contacts and start making connections and networking.
But I mean, the logo was you, our shirts, the design, that's been you. Definitely, it's an outlet for your creativity.
Yeah.
Both of you just complement each other so well. And you can tell when you're having those conversations, whether it can be ish, like he's not having it that day. He just shows up because we got to get the episode done. And then DJ, you reel him in. Y de pronto, it's like you spark something. And Ish is like, wait a second. He starts talking about that certain topic. It's genius, but I feel like it's very natural too. And your energies too. What you were saying, DJ, is that what you do during the day, this podcast is an outlet to do something different.
It definitely is. Because I'm one of those people that I'm actually very creative. And I kind of went the more scholarly route. You know, I studied law and I did all these things. I'm a very creative person. And yes, as you said, the podcast has been a heaven-sent creative outlet for me. And I have to tell you, and Ish will tell you, you know, I have a lot of things going on, whether it's work-wise, I have a son, we have like the side gig, I have like really two careers at once. And there's some times that I'm just like completely overwhelmed. I'm gonna like lose it today. And he comes over, we start recording. And for that 2 hours that he's here and we're recording and putting the show together, I'm in a completely different space. We're focused, and it really does take you out of that daily grind and that bullshit. And you find a creative space to, you know, talk and do what we do best. And I have to tell you another thing about him and I. A lot of times people that are like really good friends or even family members work together and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You know, obviously, that's something I thought about, especially as the podcast grew and it started turning more into like a business. I was like, oh, you know, what about if like we don't work well together and whatever? And we do. We work very well together.
So much so that we started a second business.
Yes. I know what my strengths and weaknesses are. And I even told him one time, I'm okay with you taking charge of things, right? Because we live in a society where you always got to be the leader and leadership and all that bullshit. And it's like, no, you have to realize that maybe somebody else should be the leader in whatever capacity and whatever project you're working on. And you know what you bring to the table. You don't have to be the leader. Our egos are checked at the door. So I think that's one of the many reasons why it's worked.
Yeah, but also to something that both of you said, like egos checked at the door. And then there's also what was said before about you know how to bring me out and I know how to bring you out in the conversation. We've said this many times before. These conversations that people are hearing us have are conversations that we were having and still to this day have when we're not recording. So this is not a situation of like we only see each other once a week and it's for that hour and then we go home and it's done, right? No, these are conversations that we have all the time. Like I would always tell people, you know, when I was living in New York, he was living in Miami. I was like, if I didn't talk to him twice a week, it felt weird. And even still to this day, now, like I said, we've got two businesses. We record once a week. We will still sometimes just randomly call each other like on a Tuesday just to be like, oye, ¿te enteraste lo que pasó con fulano? And I think that's what comes across in our show, right? Is that it's not two people who were put together by focus group. It's not two people who were cast in these roles.
Right. The difference is that now sometimes when we're talking on the phone or whatever, something will come up and like, we should talk about that on the podcast. Like, let's not talk about it. That actually happened today. Today, I was at 7-Eleven. And when I left 7-Eleven, I was driving. And I sent him a voice note on WhatsApp. And I'm like, oye, when we record this week, remind me to talk about this, 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 and this.
It was three things.
That's amazing. You can't cast 30 years. Yeah, you might be able to get experience. When you put a show together and everything, you can build the best thing, but there has to be that chemistry. There has to be that bond, that friendship. And I feel that's what aligns both of you naturally. Una cosa natural. And that's what I love about the show.
Did you know, ¿sabías que? DJ and Ish don't just host better, let me tell you. They have a side hustle selling wings. Bing Bang Pollo is the name. They do pop-ups and cater throughout South Florida. Guayaba con queso, Korean barbecue, and El Santero are flavors that will keep you coming back for more. Las tripas me están sonando. Word of advice, show up early to their events because they sell out quickly. Ya tú sabes, now back to the show.
Now, you said something about businesses because I know about Ping Pong Pollo.
The podcast and Ping Pong Pollo. When we started doing the podcast, it was just kind of like, let's just do this. And again, as we kept doing it, it was like, well, you know what? Other people are doing this and getting paid. So let's try and do this. And we've been very fortunate and very lucky to have, you know, some pretty big name sponsors. I will say, and it's going to sound weird, I kind of thank the pandemic for that. It was counterintuitive because most people assume you listen to podcasts only when you're driving. But when the pandemic hit, our numbers jumped. And I think a big part of that was that people now were stuck at home. Many people were probably stuck at home by themselves. They couldn't go out or anything. And I speak for myself. I started listening to more and more podcasts because I'm here in my house, one bedroom apartment by myself, but there's other people's voices. So it sounds like you're at the workplace. It sounds like you're being surrounded by people. I have no research to back this up, but I genuinely think that's what happened a lot with the pandemic. And as a result of that, it's been a boon for us, to be honest.
That's great to hear because, I mean, that's how I came across your show.
I was going to ask you, how did you find us?
It was a combination, right? So you had that episode with Rompalante. And me, I'm always the geek that I am looking for little phrases, right? I'm like, okay, who has Siempre Palante? Who has Always Forward? Like, because you know this. I mean, you create the name for the show and you want it to be unique. You don't want it to be the same old what everybody else is doing. Because let's face it, logo and the name is the first thing that people see when they do a search or when it pops up. So if you got them there, then they're going to give you a chance. And to me, it was like looking at Rompalante and I saw, Pero Let Me Tell You. And I was like, okay, what's this all about? Took me down the rabbit hole and here we are. And it's amazing because even listening to that, I was like, oh, okay, I got to listen to this episode. And I just started listening to more and more.
You rabbit holed.
That's it. So Ping Pong Pollo, I need to hear about this.
The story of Ping Pong Pollo is very much the story of the podcast insofar that we've had the fortune of interviewing from celebrities to influencers to entrepreneurs for the podcast.
Like Rompalante.
Yeah. And we interviewed locally. There were a few people that we interviewed that were very inspirational. And that was the owners of Do Croqueta, Andrew from Night Owl, and Danny and Rosa from Sandwich. These are all places that when you go to now, and you see like the finished product, you're like, oh my God, how did they ever get here? Because now you see the glossy, pretty store. And you're like, I can never have this. Like, how do we get that? That's impossible, right? But then when we got to know them and we become friends with all of them, you start to realize that in Do Croqueta, they didn't have a background in croquetas. They just took a leap of faith. Vicky was a caterer. Alec didn't have a culinary background. It was his idea. And then with her, they kind of took it from there. And they were delivering croquetas like out of a commercial kitchen in Doral in a warehouse. Andrew literally like burned his parents' kitchen down trying to come up with this cookie recipe and started delivering cookies. Danny and Rosa, they really ring home for me because like I went to law school, been an attorney and all that. And they were both like professionals. Like she also was in law and he had like a very big job, I think, for Saks Fifth Avenue. He was a buyer. I mean, these were like very professional positions they had and they weren't happy. And they took a leap of faith and opened up a Cuban sandwich shop in Miami, right? Like on paper, that sounds like a terrible idea, but they took a leap of faith. They believed in their product and they did it. How is that related to Ping Pong Pollo? I've always been a pretty good cook.
He's underselling himself. He is an excellent cook. I appreciate your humility, pero no, there's a reason that you are the one who tends to cook the main dish at our Christmas dinners every year. Okay. So yeah.
When I hear people say that 99.9% of the time, they're really good at what they do in that.
Well, you know, I don't want to sound like an ass, but be like, well, I am a Michelin star rated Spanish chef. So I had made these chicken wings The original recipe I found online, but like anything I do, I never follow the recipe. I tweak it and make it my own. And I started making these wings and everybody would tell me, these are the best wings I've ever had. And I'm like, whatever, that's the stuff you're saying. And then I kept making them and making them. And people are like, no, for real. This is like the best wings I've had. And the first ones that I made were like the Korean one with a Korean sauce that I had made as well. And then I tell this, I'm like, you know, why don't we start to sell these wings? We could start small. I mean, you know, it's not our day job. It's not our source of income, but let's give it a shot. And then I started thinking like, okay, I want something that's very Miami and that's very, you can't get anywhere else. And I'm like, guayabi queso. Everything in South Florida is guayabi queso. And I'm like, but there's no guayabi queso wings. So I'm like, okay, so how am I going to do this? I'm going to have like a guava glaze on the wing and a queso crema dipping sauce. So it's going to be a play on a pastelito de guayaba, like that type of thing. Like that's how I was thinking. So I went through several iterations of the sauces. I had focus groups. I had people come over. But then we finally nailed it. And this is, again, where what we're talking about, Ish and I working well together. I'm very much a perfectionist. I'm like, no, the product is not going out until it's perfect. And he was like, guess what? I already signed this up for a pop-up. And then I was like, what? Like, no, no, we can't do it. No, no. Like, and then, you know, obviously, you take a leap of faith. And I'm like, well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? We don't sell any chicken wings.
We'll be eating chicken wings for the next 3 weeks. It's fine. Like, yeah.
We've had several pop-ups already and we've only sold out. So hopefully we could build on that momentum and go take it from there.
You had me at the name because of Ping Pong Boom, thinking of that growing up, and then Ping Pong Pollo. Now you're over here talking about these different lazes. Yo digo, las tripas a mí me están sonando. And
when you come to Miami, ya está invitado a mi casa for Ping Pong Pollo.
Yes, nos dice con tiempo so we can get all the ingredients, you know? But yes.
Gracias, gracias. And the merch, that's another thing. When the episode drops, there's definitely going to be the logos attached to this merch because the shirts that you've designed, tell us a little bit about those shirts.
That's all this guy over here.
You know what's funny about our shirts? A lot of them, I've ended up designing, but the idea came up live on the show. Because like I remember the Lechon Life one, which is one of our more popular ones. I think it was our second season that we were like talking about like, oh, because you know that in South Florida, it's all about a lechon and lechon is life. And like, we both said it like lechon life. And we were both like, that's a t-shirt right there. Like, this is actually on the episode. This wasn't like later him and I talking. This is like, you could go back to that episode and listen to that, that we were both like lechon life. Like that's a shirt. The ideas have been collaborative. Oh, the Sereno one. We have one that it's the definition of a Sereno, right? Because Sereno only kills Cubans, apparently, or like people from the Caribbean. Have you ever heard a white person?
Oh, no, don't go out. The dew. The dew is going to get you. Like, no, nobody. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a similar note, though, you said la tripa, but I gotta say, it's funny, when you say tripa, I don't think of stomach. And I know it's there, but that's just such a Latino, Cuban, Spanish word. Tripa, like, to me, it's something else. It might as well be another anatomy.
You know, I think one of the beauties about Spanglish is that we switch without even realizing it. I'm sure you guys probably think the same, that we still think in English, even though we're completely fluent in Spanish. And we speak Spanglish, but our like thoughts of thoughts are in English. So, disparate. One time I was at my office, this was years ago, and I was spelling something to someone at work, and I was thinking in English, and I'm like, okay, se escribe A como en manzana, y C como en gato. And my coworker of mine was like, stop. Do you realize what you just said? Because I was thinking A as an apple. And I'm like, I come in manzana. Sego en gato. C as in cat. And she's like, do you realize what you just said? And I'm like, I was thinking in English and speaking in Spanish. The reason I bring that up is because that's very unique to the Latin experience. You're of two places. You're of two cultures. When you are Latin and you're raised in the US, I mean, you really, there is a duality to it, and you really are two things. It is very possible to be two things at once. And that's something that's very unique to us, that, you know, come in manzana, se come en gato.
But that's why I always say, again, my background's in marketing, and people are like, you know, you're 50% American, 50% Cuban or whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm 100 and 100, because I'm not half and a half. I'm fully, fully. And that's, again, I think most people who come from another cultural background would probably agree with that to a degree. But I think specifically with Latinos, it's much more prevalent, I think.
I agree. And you touched on something that I definitely want to go a little deeper into, is the motivation for the show. You obviously gave us the origin, but I feel it's deeper than that. And you talked about the Latino experience. You talk about duality. Let's talk a little bit about Ish and DJ growing up and the influences that help shape you to this day. Because without those influences, there wouldn't be a Better Let Me Tell You.
100%. You know, we could go the route, and I'm sure we will, of our families were obviously an influence, you know, our respective parents and grandparents and all that. But I think when it comes to Better Let Me Tell You, the show itself, what we owe a lot of the DNA to, aside from our relationship, is the show Que Pasa USA. We actually had the honor, I wouldn't even say the pleasure, the honor of having one of the head writers, Luis Santero, on our show. And we said that to him. We told him, like, without Que Pasa USA, there would not be a Pero Let Me Tell You. Because it's so reflective of our culture. We feel like nowadays, everybody wants a seat at the table. But looking back at the 70s, you know what? There wasn't a seat at the table. And they went out and they made their own. And that's a big part of what we do. We're not going to sit around and just wait for somebody to come and extol our culture and who we are. We're going to do it ourselves. And you can come along for the ride. And there's room for everybody.
As far as Que Pasa USA, and I would be interesting to know, like, what your take on that show is, because obviously that show is from Miami. It was made and produced in Miami. It still remains so popular 40 years later that a couple of years ago, they did a stage play of it. That stage play, it's going to come back for like a second round this year. And the thing about Que Pasa USA is that it was lightning in a bottle, because it captured, yes, the essence of being Cuban and Cuban American, but it captured a place and time, which was Miami in the late 70s, early 80s. That's why I say that even Cuban Americans that came in later would not relate to that show, because it perfectly captured it. And I think also a lot of it has to do with the fact that it was on public television. They were probably able to get away with more than they would have if it was on network television. So it was like, what you see is what you get. And that's why the show still lives on, because it's still very relevant. And those people that were children, or well, even us, like, we weren't even born when most of that show was done. But yet 40 years later, it's still so relevant. And we see ourselves and our families exactly how they are in that show. And to us, no other show has been able to capture that. Some have come close, but that magic of Que Pasa USA, nothing comes close. It's very much the DNA of our show.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's 2022, so obviously it's a very different world than when it first aired. But when we hear from people who reach out to us and say, you know, oh, I can relate to your stories. Oh, I listen to this and I share it with my families who are all across the country. And every Friday we listen and then we text each other. We're creating that communal experience that, to go back to Que Pasa USA, all of us grew up watching that show, right? And I say all of us, you know, down here in Miami, and it becomes a shorthand, and it becomes that we all know who Carmencita is and all the jokes and everything. And the fact that people are sharing our little dog and pony show in the same way, it's very humbling, and it's not something we take lightly, but I think it shows that we're trying to keep that cultural thread going.
So one of the things that we've, in five seasons, we've always sort of struggled with is the format of the show in terms of interviews, because obviously having celebrity interviews especially brings a certain cachet to the show and a certain level of the show that obviously helps with sponsors and ratings and things like that. and it also affords opportunities to us. But it's interesting because time and time and time again throughout the existence of our show, we get comments from our listeners that they prefer the show when it's just us. Not that they don't care about the interviews, but they tune in for us, which is very humbling, which is very like, what?
It's a little overwhelming. Like, really? Us?
But they tell us that I listen because of you guys. Whoever the interview is, that's fine and dandy, but I listen to you guys. So we're always sort of juggling. If we have an interview with certain someone that the interview lasts for like 30 minutes, how short are we going to make our segment? We're trying something new that on Wednesdays, when we have interviews, we have the interviews on Wednesdays. And then on Fridays, which are Pedro Fridays, it's the full hour with us.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias.
We were at Carnival of the Mile, which is a festival down here in Miami. We've gone a few times as the podcast there. And we had this lovely couple from LA come and say hi to us. They were telling us of how much they loved our show because they were from LA and their family is in LA. And their kids, their nieces and nephews all listened to the show because it sounded like they were talking with family, like that they were part of a conversation with family. And we get that comment a lot. And I have to tell you that when we hear that, that is why we do what we do. Yes, the other stuff is great. There's lots of perks, not gonna lie. But at the end of the day, we do what we do because of that. So it gives you perspective that what you're doing, yes, it's Tish and I just sitting down, shooting this, having fun and listening, you know, talking, but people really are listening on the other side. So that gives us like, wow, like they're listening to us, a certain amount of pressure that it's like, wow, like I didn't think that would happen.
It's a pick me up and it's just a chance to get away. Like it's your therapy. I'm sure when you record, we talked about that earlier and how you get away for a little bit, you exchange some things on your mind, talking all that nonsense and craziness and fun and mira este día que pasé y esto y lo otro, you walk away feeling really good. And then at the same time, for me as a listener, it's a break too, because it's like, wow, I can relate on a lot of the different topics you're talking about, or I might learn something because you come out of nowhere. Like I've heard this plenty of times, whether it's you or Ish, you come out of nowhere and start like, hey, well, hold on a second. Says here and mira esto lo que, and like, man, I didn't know that. So it's educational too.
What's our slogan?
Our slogan is listen, laugh, and learn. Here we go, the plug-in. I'm a big, big fan of CBS Sunday Morning, The View, and NPR.
And for any of your listeners who are listening to this for the first time, he says that at least 5 times every episode. So feel free to take a shot.
CBS Sunday Morning, I don't know if you've seen that show. Whoever hasn't seen that show, I can't recommend it enough. It's an hour and a half, starts at 9 a.m. on Sundays. And they have like segments on art, on music, philosophy, culture, news.
This is the moment where I say CBS Sunday Morning sponsorship. Let's do a segment and get Ish and DJ on like yesterday.
At the very least, we've given them so much publicity.
I don't see why it hasn't happened.
Bueno, yo tengo que hacer unas cuantas llamadas because I got to see who the heck I know with that show.
Listen, I'm down to talk to Jane Pauley.
We need to make it happen. But the reason I say that is because I watch those shows. I'll constantly be in conversation. Oye, I heard on NPR, or I heard on The View, or I heard on CBS Sunday Morning. So we kind of wanted our listeners to kind of be like that. Like, oye, I heard on Pero, let me tell you that whatever, whatever, whatever. You know that you probably listen to our show. We talk about some very heavy stuff on our show. In 2020, during the election year, we're not a political podcast, but we did not shy away from talking about politics on our show. we talk about some very heavy things and we go on it full force. We don't hold back. And I mean, we just try to be respectful, obviously, but we don't hold back. But at the same time, that episode that we're talking about all these like really serious things, I'll start talking about like stories about my parents. Our listeners love to hear about my parents' stories. You know, we always go in there with, okay, we're going to talk about these points because we are a current events podcast, but the rest,
we have no idea how we're going to get there.
We only plan so much. And I don't tell him what topics I'm going to talk about, and he doesn't tell me. You never know how it's going to go. This is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And you are listening to Siempre Palante Podcast.
So, ¿Qué Pasa USA? Big influence. A lot of the things that you do, you pull from your experiences. You definitely keep it very real, you know, because it hits home. So speaking of home, there's inspirations. So I'm going to keep peeling because there's inspirations that help shape you. We have family members that really, we don't forget, and it hits right in the corazón, in the heart, when we do things. And we honor them by carrying on their legacy. So who are some of these family members that just really have impacted you, and to this day, you really take their advice to heart and you really do what you do because of them?
This is the Barbara Walters segment where he's going to try to make us cry. That's what this segment is all about. I'm on to you, sir. I am on to you. You're just trying to get us to bawl over here. So I think it's obvious that our family is a big inspiration to us and our parents. It's interesting because, again, another added layer between us is that my parents came to this country as kids. My dad came to this country as one of the Pedro Pan. My mother came in Carioca around that time. His parents came when they were like in their 30s. So when we talk about our families, it's also very different experiences too, right? Because my parents, as Cuban as they are, grew up here, but my mother grew up in Miami. My father grew up in New Jersey. So there's just a lot of things that I pull from for myself. Right before we started the podcast, I actually lost my grandfather, my mom's dad, who had been bedridden for a while. And by the time he passed, he had dementia. It was just not a good space. But I do, in the back of my mind, always try to do things. I don't want to say to honor him because I don't think that's the right word. But I do always think of him because I always think of him and my grandmother took their two kids. They put them on a boat and came to this country. You know, yeah, they had like un tío and whatever. And by the time he passed away, he had managed to have his own successful business. He had seen his great grandkids. He had been able to buy his own house and had a boat at one time because that's what he wanted to do. And so I, on some level, always strive to do things that I think will be almost next level of what they came to this country for. I always joke with Darian that it's like, I know for a fact that to this day, my grandfather went to his grave, not really understanding why I went to New York for a couple of years, because it just didn't enter his head of like, you know, you're in marketing, you go to the big leagues. And that was beyond his scope. But even so, I know that what he did understand was that I was essentially making good on the promise of why he made that decision. Him and my grandmother. And so that does play a very big part in a lot of the things that I do, whether it's not always that obvious, and I mean, I don't always say it out loud, but it is always constantly in the back of my mind. I can't take it for granted that them and my dad's mom, they picked up and said, okay, well, we're going to start all over again in this country. As my grandfather used to say, you know, con una mano adelante y la otra detrás. How am I just going to kind of sit and rest on my laurels? And maybe that's why, you know, it's like, yeah, I got a full-time job and then I got the podcast and then we're doing the children. Like, I'm always like, no, siempre pa'lante, right? We always got to just keep moving forward. It sounds so cliche, but you know, you do carry your ancestors with you. And I think Latinos carry it in a way that not every culture does. You know, I think definitely Asian culture, from what I understand, does as well. But I think Latino culture definitely has an understanding of how you're going to know where you're going if you don't know where you're from.
Right. My background is different, but similar in the sense that, you know, my parents, when they came to this country, they had two kids. And There was a moment that my father had three jobs. I remember when I used to get up to go to school in elementary school, that I would be getting ready to go to school. My father would be coming home from work to sleep for 4 hours, to then go to his part-time job, to then at 11 or 12 at night, go to the graveyard shift, get home at 8 a.m. and then do it all over again. And then he had another job in the weekends. And my mom used to clean houses for the first 8-9 years that they were here. I think that when you are the son or daughter of an immigrant and you see the sacrifice that your parents did to give you a better life, because at the end of the day, it's about the kids. It is mostly about the kids. That completely changes your perspective on things, and it always will. That does not go away. That does not go away. Because even me, as somebody already in my 40s, who I have a career, I have a house, you know, I have certain things, I've accomplished things. Like, I'm always like, my parents had to work 1,000 times harder to have a quarter of what I have. And what I have is because of that. And that will never, ever leave you. In me in particular, a few years back, an opportunity that we got because of the podcast was to appear in the Immigrant Archive Project. I don't know if you've had a chance to look that up, but I advise you to. It's a wonderful project that they're doing. It's called the Immigrant Archive Project, where they speak to different people of all walks of life to talk about their immigrant story. And they interview for it. And, you know, obviously they have a really long conversation with you and they edit it down to like kind of put a package together. And I talked about my father, because my father, I've always said this, is the smartest person that I know. Growing up, I would always look at other kids' father and I would look at mine. I'm like, my father's different. You know, when I would look at other kids' fathers, they were mechanics, they were blue-collar workers, you know, all that type of stuff. My father was like a well-read person who could talk to you about Shakespeare and could talk to you about European literature and Russian literature. I always saw my father very different. And as I got to get older, I realized how intelligent my father was. And my father wanted to be an international, like, diplomat. Like, whose career aspiration is that, right? My father is in his 70s. Our parents are in their late 60s, 70s. I always call that the lost generation, because those were the people that were either older kids or teenagers when the revolution happened. So as they say in Cuban, lo partió por la mitad, right? Because their lives were just about to start when this happened, and then they didn't. So my dad was never able to go to college, and that was his dream. My dad was never able to properly have a formal education. And there's so much my father could have accomplished if things in his life would have been differently. I always felt, as I became older, that to me, school and education and being scholarly is something that's very central to who I am. And I felt that to me, it was sort of honoring a legacy that didn't exist, that could have existed if things in my dad's life were different. I never lose perspective of that, never. That my father could have accomplished so many things. And I'm sure that if you ask my father, he will tell you that, you know, he's had a great life. You know, he has 2 children and a wonderful life. And they were able to get out of the hellhole that was Cuba, because my father's family were counter-revolutionists. So they got a lot of the brunt of like those years after the revolution. And I'm sure that he will tell you, no, that his life worked out and all that. But I know that in his thoughts of thoughts, when he's lying in bed thinking about his life, he has to be frustrated because he was robbed of so much, like so many people were. Because this story that I'm telling you is everybody's story. So that's what really kind of drives me.
That's amazing. And thank you both for sharing that. And God bless our ancestors, because they've sacrificed so much so we can be right here, right now, recording, sharing our stories.
I also had 2 amazing grandmothers. I lost my grandmother back in June. I still don't accept it. I still am devastated about it. I've never had a connection with another human being like I did with my grandmother. Very fortunate. I had 2 amazing women as grandmothers. My dad's mom was a freaking badass.
You need to do a documentary about her.
Yes, that woman left in the early 60s, like maybe a 3-4 years after the revolution, she left with my uncle, which he was much younger than the other siblings, right? The other siblings ya tenían la edad militar, right? And she came here, they moved to California, and she started going to Washington, D.C. and meeting senators and doing all this type of stuff. And within 10 years, she brought her entire family, all 6 kids, their partners, their grandkids, even my other grandmother. Like, she was a total badass. And we all have people like that in our family, right? Everybody has a story. Even if you don't think you have a story, you do. Especially if you're an immigrant. Because that means that somebody close to you in your lineage, whether it was your parents or your grandparents, got their shit together and said, "De aquí no vamos." And that takes a remarkable amount of courage and conviction to do. So everybody has a story. That's why it's so interesting to share these stories. Because my story is your story. Your story is my story. And we all have similar stories in our lineage. All of us do. So that's why, again, whether it's through a podcast or a book or whatever, sharing these stories is essential. You keep these people alive and you keep honoring their legacy because it is very much a legacy.
I follow an Instagram profile about like the AIDS memorial. What they use at the end of each post where they're, you know, posting about somebody who passed away is the hashtag "what is remembered lives."
Yeah.
And that is something that we both feel very strongly about. If something is remembered even by one person, then it lives. It has a legacy.
Gracias, TJ and Ish, for sharing your stories. It's inspiring how you celebrate culture and stay true to who you are. I wish you both continued success in all that you do. Keep repping la cultura, lo cubano y más. Mi gente, don't forget to rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. You can find the show via anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about DJ and Ish. A special Pa'lante shout out goes to my team, guests, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Next week, our guest Amy Rivera-Nassad talks about what inspired her to create one of the most in-demand pop-ups in Philly, Amy's Pastelillos. Tune in and tell a friend. Hasta la próxima. Pa'lante.